etc.
I thought we settled this. I thought it was Travel Channel.
The phone call was great.
That was
earlier.
Awesome.
That's a contender. I still have one from social media last night, but I just came up with one in my head right now, is okay. What I'm saying.
Oh, all right.
Svee could absolutely dominate the Little Cat Slam Jam with the way he just takes the ball and walks up to the basket. Could just crush the Little Cat Slam Jam.
Okay.
You laughed.
Well,
you laughed.
It's funny because I know where you stand on the Little Cat Slam Jam.
Love it.
In fact, I would dare to say that up until this point in the season, this critical point, the Little Cat Slam Jam has been the most entertaining thing to take place inside Bramlage Coliseum, as opposed to the actual games.
I'm going to put Texas slightly above it just because it's a Big 12 win over a team, at least with some NBA talent on it, but I get your point. John, not me, different John on Twitter, tweeted out last night, blame Russia, literally. Svee is from Ukraine, not Russia, but, you know, point taken. Let's see, before I get to my personal favorite here, is there another one from the funny category? That's mainly it. Tyler Self, Bill Self's kid, did tweet this. Said, Svee's stat line, 11 points, 2 assists, 10 rushing yards, one game winner. So even members of the team understand exactly what happened there last night. There were a lot of people in the sports world that weighed in on this. One of the most prominent, Doug Gottlieb, he had a bunch of tweets last night. He loves blowing up Allen Fieldhouse officiating. He started with another officiating masterpiece at AFH. Then he tweeted out embarrassing, blatant travel. Then he told a story about how he lost in 1999 with Oklahoma State on a BS call, in his words, at Allen Fieldhouse. Tweeted a gif of the Thunder's Steven Adams getting kicked between the legs. Said, this is what it feels like to play a great game against a great program and have it in that way. I think a lot of people can relate to that. And then finally, doubled down today. This was earlier today. And said, traveling is like using poor grammar. It just feels like you screwed up. So Doug Gottlieb's, he's got your back, K-State fans, and all of this.
He always has. I've always been a big fan of the way that he gets under KU fan skin. Again, with that same complex that KU fans have toward officiating in their building. It's amazing.
Well, finally, the best thing I saw on social media last night, and it came in response to my call for some good jokes and the best of the best. I got a tweet from friend Justin, and Justin said, this was less of a travel. And I initially just saw the tweet, and I couldn't see the picture, so I had to actually get on my computer. I opened it up. What is it? It's a picture of Purvis Pascoe holding his one finger up there after the traveling call in that infamous Big 12 tournament game.
That's not even a joke. That's just a fact. That is factually accurate information. There was way less ground covered by Purvis Pascoe in that situation.
But it was still really funny. I mean,
oh, yeah, it's funny.
Whether or not it's factual or not, that one made me laugh the hardest when I saw that.
Yeah.
That was less of a travel, the Purvis Pascoe fiasco. So I'm still going to go Justin. He wins for making me laugh the most, but close second was the call earlier about the Travel Channel, mainly just because it blindsided me. But that one was awesome as well.
Did you guys bring up Andrew Hammond's one about Siberia?
Oh, Siberia.
Siberia?
He said,
no,
Svee should get a warm welcome in Manhattan in about a month or so, as warm as Siberia.
Yeah. Well, the next travel call against K-State in Bramlage, like let's say on Saturday against Oklahoma, let's say Barry Brown gets called for a travel with 16 minutes to go in the first half. I think there is going to be quite a reception for that. And if it's on Oklahoma, it's going to
I would flip it and say first time the opponent travels and there's a call, you might get the mock cheer.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's going to be a lot of boos if it's K-State, and it's going to be a mock cheer if it's on Oklahoma. It's going to go both ways.
Mock cheer on Oklahoma, boo, yeah. But I think it only happens with the opponent. I mean, none of this is really about K-State. It's about the opponent.
Yeah.
So I think you'd get the mock cheer when opponent travels and it's actually called. You know, get them back. Rightfully got a travel call. Appreciate everybody who submitted, I guess, to my contest here to award nothing to the person who made me laugh the most other than just a little bit of airtime. So congratulations there. If you do want to squeeze in a phone call, 537-1350, 866-776-1350, we got a little bit of time here before you can't be serious. You know, the one thing to come full circle with the entire discussion today about what happened, how K-State played. I think this is a definite shot in the arm for the season. It's a definite shot in the arm for Bruce Weber, but that only goes so far. At some point, you do have to get over the hump and win games. And I think the big story here in the game is the way K-State played. They really proved something. They played great in a building where almost nobody does, where K-State certainly doesn't, and they did it against a top-five team on the road, regardless of how the ending there happened. But it is another loss in a close game, and you lost in a close game in a similar situation down the stretch to Maryland. You lost here to Kansas. You lost all those close games last year. We know this is basically a tournament or bust year. You still have to get over the hump and win games. Now, they did beat Texas in a close game, but they didn't finish very well. So I think there is still, to me, a little lingering concern of, okay, they're clearly good enough to play with anybody in the conference now. That was just proven. Can they get over the hump enough to win 10, 11 games, get to the NCAA tournament? This will carry you if you hit double-digit wins in the conference. You'll use that to get a lot of momentum, head to the tournament, and all will be right with the world. However, if you follow this up with a 7-11 Big 12 season, we're not going to look back at this game as some kind of glowing moment in the season or the program. You have to take this and parlay it.
Yeah, it all just comes down to how much consistency K-State can play with going forward. I mean, if they play that game the entire rest of the Big 12 season, I think they go like 13-5 or 14-4 or something like that. Is that realistic? No. But they got to get to 10. And so can they do that enough, especially against – it's not just about beating the teams that are lower than you. It's not just about going 4-0 against Texas and Oklahoma in this particular case. You're going to have a win against a Baylor or a West Virginia or a Kansas. I'll say that out of those three teams, you got six games there. You got to find a way to go 2-4 over those games just so that you do have something tangible to put at the top of your resume. You know, that's what we're going to need to see from K-State.
Well, I do think that this team it has that capability, no doubt about it. I mean, at home, here in Bramlage, I don't think there's really a team that you could say now after watching that last night that K-State can't beat here at Bramlage. I mean, I say what you will about Baylor. I suppose that Baylor could enter that discussion if you really think they're better than Kansas, but I just divert back to default. Kansas is the best team in the league. Baylor's been impressive so far, but hey.
Baylor is more complete than Kansas. I mean, Baylor has some depth, and they've got some legitimate front court guys. Kansas has the best backcourt in the country, but if you have Landon Lucas in foul trouble or if he's just not playing well, that's a team that you can exploit in the middle, and we saw K-State scoring 46 points in the paint.
537-1350, 866-776-1350. Tom in Leonardville. What's going on, Tom?
Well, I was just listening to you guys again. You started going negative again on me. You know, after all the positive things from last night, and that wasn't Bill Weber. Mr. Weber's fault. You know, if he'd hit that shot, why, we wouldn't be having this discussion tonight. So that's not on the coaching. But you guys are starting a negative on me again, so I'll give you a little clue.
Can I just
stay
ask
positive,
for
a guy?
Hey, Tom, chill. Can I ask for an example? Of how we're being negative?
Well, when you go back and listen to yourselves a little bit, how bad it was, and da-da-da-da-da, and I'm going, you guys got to stay positive more often.
How bad what was? Tom, this is my thing. Like, come to me with some specific examples. Well, I'm happy to have this discussion.
I started to, and then you guys got to going back onto the positive things again. About three minutes ago. So you're
damn us.
A train of thought.
Being positive. Why'd we go back?
Be positive.
Why'd we go back? Hey, Tom, my job is to call it like I see it. That's what I do. I appreciate you listening. I'll always entertain your thoughts. If you want to challenge some of that, I'm totally welcome to it. But I'd appreciate it you brought some specific.
We got to have some.
Hey, look, Tom, you're going to have to calm down for a second. Next time, if you call back, just bring me some specific talking points, and I will be happy to have that discussion with you, my friend. I believe you're one of the people that called thinking we were too negative about Dean Wade. Here's this for you, man. Dean Wade was a baller last night. He was a beast.
Yeah.
He had 20 points.
Except for the last shot.
Positive. Positive. Look at me being positive. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate the phone call. You Can't Be Serious is coming up next as we shut down the game.